RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Countries in the world discuss the improvement of democracy process in the 10 BDF. The Indonesian House of Representatives DPR Commission 1 endorses nomination of Hadi Cahyanto. And now the news in detail. The progress of democracy process in several countries in the world become the main focus in the implementation of the 10 Bali Democracy Forum BDF, which is held in Kota Bumi Serpong Damai BSD, Tangerang, Banten on December 7 and 8, 2017. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi on Wednesday, 6 of December, said that the BDF this year is implemented interactively by involving directly foreign ministers from participant countries to discuss about democracy process in their respective countries. Moreover, Minister Retno Marsudi stated that the discussion will be divided into panel session and debate. Meanwhile, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi will be involved in panel 1 session with a focus that coincides with the main theme of the 10 BDF, Does Democracy Convey? While the eruption of Mount Agung became the main reason for BDF, which was for the first time conducted outside the province of Bali.
Segment pertama adalah
the first segment is panel. The second segment also brings panel, while the third segment will be a general debate. Unlike the previous BDF, which brought a general debate ahead of other segments and not intended by all ministers at the panel segment. Furthermore, Minister Retno Marsudi said other agendas which will be held on the sidelines of the implementation of the 10 Bali Democracy Forum, namely the bilateral meeting of the presidential and foreign ministerial level. According to Minister Retno, the Tunisian foreign minister plans to meet with the Indonesian president and vice president to report the result of the BDF chapter Tunisia, which was considered successful in early October by inviting representatives from the North African region. For Indonesia, the implementation of BDF chapter Tunisia is the first step of implementing BDF, which will be implemented outside Indonesia. The House of Representatives DPR Commission 1 has agreed on the nomination of Air Force Chief of Staff Marshal Hadi Cahyanto as Chief of the National Defense Forces TNI to replace General Gatot Nurmantio. Chief of DPR's Commission 1 Abdul Haris Alam Shari stated on Wednesday, 6 of December, that after DPR's Commission 1 conducted a fit and proper test on him and sought views from fraction and sought views from faction in the DPR, the House Commission 1 endorsed his nomination as the TNI chief. Al-Mashari said Cahyanto had a credible track record, so he met the required credential to hold the TNI's chief post. During the fit and proper test, DPR's Commission 1 raised several issues, including leadership, integrity, and above all, the extent to which he will be able to guard and maintain the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. He revealed Al-Mansyari noted the fit and proper test was conducted in three phases, covering the examination of administrative qualification, the presentation of vision and mission, in-depth review of vision and mission in decision-making. He remarked that DPR's Commission 1 had also endorsed the retirement of General Gatot Nurmantio as the TNI chief and lauded his dedication to state and his serious work. Jakarta Governor Anies Baswedan plans to recruit. Jakarta Governor Anies Baswedan plans to recruit people with disabilities as government employees starting from 2018. Anies said on Wednesday, 6 of December in Jakarta, that he will instruct every bureau and working units to recruit our brothers with disabilities. The former education minister reasoned that there are plenty of people with disabilities that has work potential. In the future, they would be appointed at places that fit their skills. According to the Jakarta Central Bureau of Statistics, there were 6,003 disabled people in Jakarta in 2015, South Jakarta followed by West Jakarta and Thousand Islands, 69 people. Governor Anies said that the recruitment procedure will be further discussed with other Jakarta officials, and he also assured that the selection process has commenced through a small team that he initially formed. The issue of equality for people with disabilities originally emerged during the Jakarta gubernatorial election campaign season. Like many other promises he made, Anies Baswedan promised to create a public service that is friendly towards disabled people. The Indonesian government is considering increasing the prices of subsidized fuel next year because of the rising global oil prices. Previously, the government had said it would keep fuel prices unchanged until December 2018. The government increased the Indonesian crude price, or ICP, to $59 per barrel in November from $54.02 per barrel in the previous month. Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry's Oil and Gas Director General Ego Syahrial in Jakarta Wednesday, 6 of December, said the government may adjust fuel prices if the price of crude oil reaches $60 per barrel. Previously, the government had stated there would be no fuel price hike until late 2018. Despite calls from state-owned energy firm Pertamina for an increase, Ego said the government might, for example, be compelled to increase the price of premium branded gasoline to 6,750 rupiah per liter from currently 6,450 rupiah per liter. Ego also explained, however, that the government would try to maintain the current price by, for example, increasing cost efficiency at Pertamina. The planned acquisition of state-owned energy firm Pertamina subsidiary PT Pertagas by state-owned gas distributor PT Perusahaan Gas Negara PGN will be an initial step toward the establishment of an oil and gas holding that was conveyed by PGN Corporate Secretary Rahmat Hutama in Jakarta on Wednesday, 6 of December. According to a plan devised by the state-owned enterprises ministry, the state will transfer its stake in PGN to Pertamina after 100% of Pertagas shares are acquired by PGN. Rahmat said his company would acquire Pertagas before it joined Pertamina to establish an oil and gas holding company. Rahmat said PGN will acquire Pertagas and then and then PGN will become a subsidiary of Pertamina in the holding firm. He said PGN supported the government's plan to establish an oil and gas holding because it was part of the efforts to improve the management of the country's oil and gas industry. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Tourists from China have topped the list of international visitors to Jakarta in October. A survey has shown, according to the study, 28,416 Chinese tourists visited the capital city in October this year. Jakarta Central Statistics Agency BPS distribution head Dewi Kundalini said in a statement on Wednesday, 6 of December. Trailing behind China are Malaysia, Japan, Singapore and South Korea. Combined, they made up 46.88% of total tourist visit to Jakarta. This shows that those five countries play a very important role in improving Indonesia's foreign tourism. Dewi also stated that the number of international tourist visit in October declined to 9.03% compared the same period last year. However, Jakarta BPS data shows that the number of total international tourist visit from January to October increased to 7.47% compared to the same period in 2016. The last item, two Indonesian cities that will hold the 2018 ASEAN Games, Jakarta and Palembang, were ordered by Indonesian Health Ministry to be free of diphtheria before the multi-sport event commences next year. Dr. Muhammad Subu, Indonesian Health Ministry's Director General of Disease Prevention and Control, said in Jakarta on Wednesday, 6 of December, as many as 20 provinces and 95 districts and cities, including Palembang and South Sumatra, have reported cases related to diphtheria. Subu asserted that this disease is a life-threateningly, highly contagious and infectious disease. He really urges this is clear before the 2018 ASEAN Games are held. Based on the ministry's data, there are 95 districts and cities that have reported cases related to diphtheria from January till November of 2017. The worst region hit by the disease is East Java, Banten, and Tangerang. Immunization is the way to prevent the spread of diphtheria. However, South Sumatra Governor Alex Nurdin denied that Palembang had patients that were treated for diphtheria. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello listeners, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Tolerance Message on the World Human Rights Day. The celebration World Human Rights Day is held every December 10th. According to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights by the General Assembly of the United Nations on 10 December 1948, this date serves as a reminder of to all people to always strive for their human rights and to safeguard and respect the rights of other people. Indeed, behind every right, there is also an obligation that accompanies. In addition to protecting the respected rights, humans are also required to safeguard the rights of others. Indeed, human rights are an international issue, not just an internal matter of a country. They are essential to everyone and must be protected and struggled for. Human rights protection itself has a long history, beginning with the recognition of the same natural dignity and human rights that cannot be revoked. The recognition is the basis of freedom, justice, and world peace. Human rights are seen as something vital to maintain human's life, to be human, and maintain the most precious rights, that is, to become human. With respect to the protection of human rights, it is stated that everyone is entitled to all freedoms set forth in the Declaration. There is no distinction such as race, skin color, sex, language, religion, politics, country or origin, property, birth, and other status. No distinction shall be made on the basis of the political, legal, or international status of the country or the territory from which the person is originated. Refugee human rights issues, for example, never disappear in the international arena. There are various reasons that cause people to evacuate. Indeed, driving people away by force has taken place long time ago on this earth. This is because of natural disaster or because of disaster made by humans such as war or inter-ethnic conflicts. All of these are serious challenges faced by the international community. The commemoration of Human Rights Day this time is a momentum to reaffirm the rights of humanity. What they are, through this moment, everyone should be able to accept the differences as reality. They start from the nearest environment in everyday life, then it moves forward to define the rights of the disabled, women, children, indigenous communities, minorities, or others who are experiencing discrimination or violence, including refugees or migrants. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listeners. Nice to be with you again in our daily program, Today in History, over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, listener, we begin our program with an event that happened on December 7, 1941, when Japan made a surprise attack on Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, USA. The attack on Pearl Harbor was a surprise tactical strike by the Imperial Japanese Navy against the United States Naval Base at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii Territory on the morning of December 7, 1941. The attack, also known as the Battle of Pearl Harbor, led the United States entry into World War II. The Japanese military leadership referred to the attack as the Hawaii Operation or Operation A1, as Operation said during its planning. The attack commenced at 7:48 a.m. Hawaiian time. The base was attacked by 353 Imperial Japanese aircraft, including fighters, level and dive bombers, and torpedo bombers in two waves, launched from the six aircraft carriers. All eight U.S. Navy battleships were damaged, with four sunk. It said the USS Arizona, all were later raised, and six were returned to service and went on to fight in the war. The Japanese also sent or damaged three cruisers, three destroyers, an anti-aircraft training ship, and one mine layer. 188 U.S. aircraft were destroyed. 2,403 Americans were killed, and 1,178 others were wounded. The next event was in 1995 when Galileo arrived at Jupiter. Galileo was an American unmanned spacecraft that studied the planet Jupiter and the Moon, as well as several other solar system bodies. Named after the astronomer Galileo Galilei, it consisted of an orbiter and entry port. It was launched on October 18, 1989, carried by space shuttle Atlantis on the STS-34 mission. Galileo arrived at the Jupiter on December 7, 1995. It launched the first probe into Jupiter, directly measuring its atmosphere. Despite suffering major antenna problems, Galileo achieved the first asteroid flyby of 951 Gaspra and discovered the first asteroid moon, Dactyl, around 243 Ida. In 1994, Galileo observed comet Shoemaker Levy's 9th collision with Jupiter. And the last event was in 2004. Hamid Karzai was sworn in as Afghan president. Hamid Karzai is an Afghan politician who was the leader of Afghanistan from 22nd December 2001 to 29th September 2014, originally as an interim leader and then as a president for almost 10 years, from 7 December 2004 to 2014. He was from a politically active family. Karzai's father, uncle, and grandfather were all active in Afghan politics and government. Karzai and his father, before him, Abdul Ahad Karzai, were each head of the Popalp's side tribe of the Durrani Tribe Confederation. He was then chosen for a two-year term as interim president during 2002 Loya Jirga Grand Assembly that was held in Kabul, Afghanistan. After 2004 presidential election, Karzai was declared winner and became president of Islamic Republic of Afghanistan. He won a second five-year term in 2009 presidential election. This term ended in September 2014. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listeners. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Focus. The title of today's Focus is Bean Eagle. For ASEAN countries, strengthen cooperation in ag sectors. Well, listener, North Kalimantan province was pleased to host the 21st Brunei Darussalam Indonesia Malaysia Philippines BIMT is ASEAN Growth Area or IGA Mr. Amitin on November 30 to December 3, 2017 in Tarakan City. The four participating countries of BIMT IGA Cooperation, Brunei Darussalam, Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines are committed to improving collaboration in ag sectors. The ag sectors as tourism, trade and investment, transportation, electricity, ICT, agriculture, environment and culture, and education. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, said at the meeting in Tarakan on last Sunday that BIMT IGA is a sub-regional cooperation in Southeast Asia that has important role as the foundation of development of regional cooperation. He also said that the presence of BIMT IGA has contribution in supporting the implementation of ASEAN Economic Community AEC and ASEAN cooperation in general. Furthermore, Minister Darmin Nasution said that inter-regional connectivity is a major factor in supporting economic activities. To support this, the priority precise projects PIPs had been agreed upon in a BIMT IGA region with a value up to $21.4 billion. The amount is channeled to airport projects, ports, roads, bridges, and trains. He further said that the priority connectivity projects for Indonesia include the construction of Manado Bitung Toll Road, Samarinda Balikpapan, the construction of border facilities in West Kalimantan, Bitung Special Economic Zone, Bitung Port and Makassar Port. Minister Darmin Nasution also explained that BIMT IGA involves several provinces in four ASEAN countries. In Indonesia, 15 provinces in eastern Indonesia are included in the cooperation, such as in Kalimantan, Sulawesi, Maluku, and Papua. The provinces in Malaysia include Sabah and Sarawakan, while the Philippines includes the province of Palawan and Mindanao. While listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Here is our news in brief. The progress of democracy process in several countries in the world become the main focus in the implementation of the 10 Bali Democracy Forum BDF, which is held in Kota Bumi Serpong Damai, BSD, Tangerang, Banten on December 7 to 8, 2017. The House of Representatives DPR's Commission 1 has agreed on the nomination of Air Force Chief of Staff Marshal Hadi Cahyanto as Chief of the National Defense Forces TNI to replace General Gatot Nurmantyo. Jakarta Governor Anies Baswedan plans to recruit people with disabilities as government's employees starting from 2018. The Indonesian government is considering increasing the prices of subsidized fuel next year because of the rising global oil prices. The planned acquisition of state-owned energy firm Pertamina subsidiary PT Pertagas by state-owned gas distributor PT Perusahaan Gas Negara will be an initial step toward the establishment of an oil and gas holding. Tourists from China have topped the list of international visitors to Jakarta in October, a survey has shown. And the last item, two Indonesian cities that will hold the 2018 ASEAN Games, Jakarta and Palembang, were ordered by Indonesian Health Ministry to be free of diphtheria
before the multi-sport event commences next year. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Indonesian Wonder, and Mr. Lenny.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Aeng Tong Tong Village to know the enchantment of Kris Nusantara. Stay tuned. Listener, Kris or Kris is one of Indonesia's traditional weapons that has been registered in UNESCO as a non-human cultural heritage since 2015. The shape of Kris can be distinguished from other sharp weapons because it is not symmetrical on its base, which often winding blades, and many of them have their own privileges. In the past, Kris functioned as a weapon in warfare or as a complementary item of offerings. Currently, Kris is used as accessories, cultural symbols, and collection goods. Listener, as a traditional weapon of Indonesia that much in demand by foreign communities, there are many centers of Kris making in Indonesia. One of the largest is in Aeng Tong Tong Village, Saronggi Sub-District, Sumenep Region, si Madura. The village became the icon of the largest Kris center in Madura and was even recognized by UNESCO in 2005 because the majority of villagers were livelihood as Kris craftsmen. The village still maintains the culture of making Kris since the days of Sumenep Kingdom. Formerly, the area of Aeng Tong Tong was used as a place for learning of the kings. All the descendants of the king were taught many things by Prince Bukabu, ranging from religious things, the kingdom, to the art that specifically refers to the making of Kris. The creation of Kris in the region continues. Even in the Dutch and Japanese era, everyone kept to make the Kris as part of their tradition. As time goes by, Kris making, which was originally only based on order for heritage Kris and weapon, now developed on making of decorative Kris and for souvenir, marketed all over the world. Kris Aeng Tong Tong is mostly demanded by collectors from Southeast Asian countries. The collectors continue to buy Kris from this area because the motif is always unique and interesting, like Megaramang, the typical Kris of Sumenep. the crisp can be sold tens of millions or even hundreds of millions. The price of crisp depends on the difficulty level of the making process of crisp. If the level of difficulty is high, the price is expensive. Listener visiting Aing Tong Tong village, loud clanging of forged metal, the sound of grinding iron, heard in every corner of the village. To make a crisp in a standard size, it takes a half kilogram to 1 kilogram of iron. For the heirloom crisp making process, it's done with special terms and rituals. In making heirloom crisp requires several stages, such as finding the right time according to the calculation of the prospective owner. It takes also 1 to 5 years so that the heirloom is in harmony with the owner, while making crisp for souvenirs only takes 2 to 3 days. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic The Enchantment of Crisp Nusantara in Sumenep, Madura. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia in Bahasaku or My Language, a segment to preserve ethnic language diversity in Indonesia. In 1972, the National Language Agency, now known as the Language Development and Fostering Agency, recorded 418 ethnic languages based on documentation made in 1969 to 1971. In 2008, the agency documented 442 ethnic languages. Since 1992 until mid-2016, the Language Agency documented 646 ethnic languages throughout Indonesia with a total of 2,348 observation areas, or DP. The number of verified and mapped languages reaches 617 ethnic languages. Summer Institute of Linguistics in 2006 mentioned there are 742 ethnic languages in Indonesia, and 737 of them are active languages. Meanwhile, less than 10%, maybe only 5% of ethnic languages in Indonesia has been studied by the linguists. Language is more than just words to be spoken or written. It is also a form of creative ideas of a civilization. Therefore, the Language Development and Fostering Agency made all possible efforts to save and preserve ethnic languages through conservation and revitalization approaches. Carried out conservation efforts by documenting a few languages or conducted revitalization activities. This means that we try to revive or reactivate the ethnic languages to their basic usage on the community. And to follow up the revitalization activities, we invite local governments to create a concrete program. By the time passes by, in many remote areas, the use of ethnic languages is getting lesser and the mother tongue in those areas is threatened with extinction as the speakers are getting older and there is no action in passing down the ethnic languages to the younger generation. These days, the loss of the ethnic language speakers needs to become the main focus for all parties because without the ethnic languages, it means a great loss in national identity and cultural richness, especially in the language area. That's the end of Bahasaku or My Language, a segment to preserve ethnic language diversity in Indonesia through the Voice of Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll present Indonesian nostalgic pop songs from Indonesian male singer Harvey Malehoro. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Hati Selembut Salju by Harvey Malehoro. Happy listening.
Sutra di ufuk mulai bercahaya, hatiku pun ingin bertanya, bila kau tiba, jangan hanya berita, datanglah dengan cinta. Berganti betapa abadi bagai cintaku ini setia dalam cinta engkau berjanji kau berjanji sampai kini aku menanti ku menanti kau kembali. Jangan lagi kecewakan hati ini. Biar seribu tahun memutih rambutku, hatiku tetap selembut salju. Burung bangau terbang ke kandang setahun sekali, menemui cintanya lagi. Memang ku harapkan dan selalu ku impikan, kau datang dengan cinta. Engkau berjanji, kau berjanji sampai kini aku menanti. Selembut salju
berganti. Betapa abadi bagai cintaku ini, setia dalam cinta. Engkau berjanji, kau berjanji sampai kini. Aku menanti, aku menanti kau kembali. Jangan lagi kecewakan. Tetap selembut salju. Engkau berjanji, kau berjanji sampai kini. Aku menanti, aku menanti kau kembali. Jangan lagi kecewakan hati ini.
You've just listened to the song Hati Selembut Salju by Harvey Malaiholo. The singer's full name, Harvey Benjamin Malaiholo, reached his golden era in 1980s. However, he began his career by releasing his first studio album in 1977 entitled Volume 1. Harvey started his career in the Indonesian music industry by winning various singing festivals. One of the festivals was the National Radio and Television Singing Contest, or Bintang Radio Televisi Nasional, in 1976. With the victory, Harvey's talent began to draw attention from record producers who gave him the chance to release the first album. The process of Harvey's first album was handled by Arianto, an Indonesian composer, songwriter, and singer. The album entitled Volume 1 was quite popular at the time, with a single hit entitled Derita Hati and Marsali. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Dara by Harvey Malaiholo.
Dara, aku melihatmu hanyut dalam gerakanmu. Gemulai kau menari seiring nada syahdu. Aku termangu-mangu. Dara, kau sungguh jelita. Anggun dan penuh pesona. Binar bola matamu dan senyum yang menawan menggetarkan jiwa. Oh Dara, kau pikat hati yang tak mengerti apa arti senyum di sela-sela tari. Anggun
dan penuh pesona. Binar bola matamu dan senyum yang menawan menggetarkan jiwa. Oh Dara, kau pikat hati yang tak mengerti apa arti senyum di sela-sela tari. Cari jauh ke sana, ku cari jauh ke sini, ke ujung dunia pun tak peduli. Ku cari jauh ke sana, ku cari jauh ke sini, ke ujung dunia pun tak peduli.
The debut album that is quite successful in the market does not necessarily make Harvey satisfied. He then continues to work and release other albums from year to year. Not only that, Harvey also began to collaborate with musicians and other singers like Ireng Maulana and Rafika Duri. In 1988, Harvey re-released his work in an album entitled Aku Begini, Kau Begitu. This album is not a pure Harvey album, but a compilation album of many Indonesian singers. In this album, there is also another song sung by Harvey entitled Dara, the song you've just listened. The song Aku Begini, Kau Begitu was firstly popularized by Bruri Pesulima. The success of the song makes a lot of musicians in Indonesia released it in various versions such as Pop Bosas brought by Harvey Malaiholo. Apparently, the song Aku Begini Kau Begitu of Harvey's version sounds much better than the original version. To get Pop Bosas element into the song Aku Begini Kau Begitu, the Harvey's version does not sound crybaby like the original version. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Aku Begini Kau Begitu and Desember Kelabu. Happy listening, sampai jumpa.
Dan hatiku masih ada tergores ingatan pahit ku rasakan hari ini hati masih luka. Telah aku coba melupakan segalanya, namun titik terang tiada datang. Langit makin kelam, luka makin dalam, hati ini hancur jadi debu. Hanya satu lupakan dirimu. Namun apa daya, aku manusia gagal menghapus kenangan lama. Hanya satu
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Cekam di bulan Desember, air hujan turun deras dan kejam, hati berdebar. Ku teringat bayangan impian di malam itu, malam yang kelabu kau ucapkan kata selamat tinggal sayang. Bulan madu yang kita janjikan semakin melayang, telan air hujan, engkau tak datang. Bulan ini Desember kedua, aku menanti. Dua tahun sudah ku sabar menanti, ku dilanda sepi. Angin dingin menusuk di hati, terasa nyeri. Bulan madu, tinggallah impian tanpa kenyataan. Pudar sudah Desember kelabu, selalu menghantui setiap mimpiku. Bulan madu yang kita janjikan semakin melayang, telan air hujan, engkau tak datang. Bulan ini Desember kedua, aku menanti. Dua tahun sudah ku sabar menanti, ku dilanda sepi. Angin dingin menusuk di hati, oh terasa nyeri. Bulan madu, tinggallah impian tanpa kenyataan. Kini pudar sudah Desember kelabu, selalu menghantui setiap mimpiku.
tiada pernah berhenti. Seribu rintang jalan berliku bukanlah satu penghalang. Hadapilah segala tantangan, mohon petunjuk yang kuasa. Ciptakanlah kerukunan bangsa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.